in our third week on the presence of peace, okay? How many are practicing to find this peace? You've been, Katie back there is going, I'm doing it. The rest of you are like, I like it, but it just needs to come to me. I don't want to work for it. It doesn't just happen. You're going to have to practice the presence of the Lord if you really want peace. Let me quickly recap our main passage that I've been keying off of. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace. This in the Hebrew is shalom, shalom. It's not in translating there. Remember, anytime you're translating a cultural language, it's not always word for word. It's capturing the heart. And so in our language, it's how do you explain peace, peace? This perfect, this complete, this overwhelming peace. And so the writer writes it by the Holy Spirit, shalom, shalom, translated perfect peace, says you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Heavenly Father, today help us fix our thoughts on you and put our trust in you completely. Lean on you completely. And so, Lord, strengthen our hearts. And, Lord, help us work through stuff so that we can have peace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've spent 2 weeks talking about what we should be putting our minds on, guarding our minds and what we allow our thoughts to think about. Church, that is so important to where you put your thinking. That was an amen spot. Amen. Okay. Church, we need the presence of peace. Paul says, grace and peace to the church. Having the Holy Spirit's presence in our life, but not just here in our hearts, but in the reforming of our thinking. Let me read a few scriptures to you from God's Word regarding the thoughts of our mind. Psalm 10:4 says this, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. Speaking of God. In all his thoughts, are you ready for this? There's no room for God. Church, we have got to make room for God in our thought life. Wickedness will shut God out. Psalm 94:11 says, the Lord knows people's thoughts. He knows they are worthless. That's exciting to know. You thought you had a good thought. That kind of shakes us up to realize what our thinking. Church, most of our thinking, especially about things we cannot control, is of very little value. Reminds me of the scripture in Isaiah 55 where God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God does not think like we think. That's why we pray for his will to be done. Amen. But in that vein of thought, God's thoughts toward us, you need to know, are incredible. The psalmist says in 139:17, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. God thinks a lot about you and me. You need to know that. Jeremiah 29:11, one you're familiar with. New King James puts it this way, for I know the thoughts. I know we always read it as the plans, but plans come from a thought. And the translation, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace. And not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has planned good for us. Why? Because he thought about it. He thinks about us every day. Church, God wants us to have a relationship with him on a daily basis so we can live out the plan that he has thought out for us. to do that, we have to get our minds on God, right? Get it into His Word. We have to deal with the negative thoughts that come our way. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, we demolish arguments and every pretension, everything that pretends, think about this, that's to set itself up against the knowledge of God. Evolution has pretended to set itself up against the knowledge of God. It's pretending to be something it is not. It was not creation. And that's why he says if we take captive every what? Okay, I'm helping you read scripture with me this morning. It's a good thing. It never goes out void. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to what? Christ. Christ being the anointing, the Word in our life. Amen? Proverbs 4:26 says, give careful what? Thought to the paths for your feet. Be steadfast in all your ways. In Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent, how many are prudent? And so your wisdom is to give what? To what? Their ways. But the folly of fools, say that really fast, three times fast. The folly of fools is deception. Got to give thought to how we're living. In the New Testament, Ephesians 4, if I overwhelmed you with scripture, there's something here about our thought life, church. It says, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew what? Your thoughts and, see, but if you get the thought right, the attitude follows. The writer of Hebrews 3, verse 1 says this, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, how many are sharing in the heavenly calling? Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. One more scripture on our thoughts. And this should be a continual prayer of our life. Psalm 139, 23, search me, God, know my heart. This is the tough part, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. That's what I want to address today, is how do we deal with anxious thoughts? Understand it's those anxious thoughts that cause us to get our mind off of God. And when we do that, that presence of peace that we're talking about slips away. We forget about allowing the presence of God to surround us. It's interesting, the word anxious has a lot of synonyms, like nervous, worried, concerned, uneasy, apprehensive, restless, fretful, fearful, unsettled, distressed. I'll stop there. We don't need any of those in our life. We need peace. The Word of God tells us to not worry. It says, do not be anxious. Listen to Matthew 6 as Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? I think probably some of us have been there. How are we gonna pay the bills, and how are we gonna get the next meal on our table, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? We get frustrated because I don't know where the next thing's coming from. Verse 32, he says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33, but seek first His kingdom. I know you know the verse, but he's saying, first of all, you got to get your mind on God's kingdom. You've got to get your mind on God's way, God's purpose. And Jesus says, and His righteousness. Get your mind on right thinking. Thinking that will keep your heart right before the Lord. And Jesus says that all these things will be given to you as well. And then he repeats the statement again in verse 34, therefore do not worry. He starts with don't worry. Here's where you're supposed to put your thinking. And by the way, do not worry. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many know that? Yeah. So, church, we know it's going to have enough trouble, but we are to seek God with our thoughts, with our thinking. God, what are you doing? God, how do you want me to live? God, what's the best way to work through this situation? Because we ought to know by now as believers that worrying and fretting robs us of our peace. How many know that? The rest of you should know it now because the Bible just told us that. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers up or a person up. Worry only adds weight to your life. New Testament, Jesus asked this question in Matthew 6:27. Can any one of you by worrying add one single hour to your life? The simple answer is what? No. Why? Because worry robs you of that. Doesn't add. Once again, we have to guard how we think and not let anxiety get the best of us. In a magazine, and some of you may wonder what magazine, it's AARP, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that. I'm not a component or a pusher of it, but the readers in this magazine were asked to respond to this question. What's your strategy for coping with stress? That was the question. And the answers came back to the magazine as people responded from eating chocolate chip cookies. We are provided that for you on your way out to deal with your stress today. No. Actually, to having a stiff drink. I don't suggest that any of that will help. There was one answer, though, that intrigued the magazine, so they ended up publishing not only some of the thoughts that people returned, but this one they highlighted. And it was this. A certain man said, on the 1st of January, I give my wife $1 and she worries about everything for both of us for the whole year. But that's not where he stopped. He continued to write, if someone else wants to be worry-free, they can also send her $1. That's a way to pay the bills, I think. I had a thought after reading, if you want me to worry for you, I will just send me $1 and I'll do all your worrying for you. I'm kidding, okay? Church, I know that most likely all of us know this, but worry and anxiety causes serious physical problems in your life. It causes ulcers, high blood pressure, and even heart attacks. And, of course, so many other problems. Let me give you some current statistics that are, I think, extremely high right now. But according to the American Institute of Stress, if you didn't know it, we have one. The current statistics in America, in the United States, actually, are this. About 33% of people report feeling extreme stress. 77% of people experience stress that affects their physical health. 73% of people have stress that impacts their mental health. And 48% of people have trouble sleeping because of stress. Almost one out of every two people. Some of you did not sleep well last night, did you? That's where Americans are living. But the body of Christ, the people of God, don't have to match those statistics. Why? Because we have a peace that passes our understanding. For a believer, for a Christian, to have to understand anxiety and worry can happen in our life. But it begins to happen when we begin to doubt God's power or God's goodness or God's plan for our life. And so we have to remember that God is for us. Everybody say that. God is for us. Can you say God is for me? Yeah. Sometimes it's easier for us to think, oh yeah, he's helping them out. But God is for you. He's for me. I know all of us are fully aware that anxiety can keep us from moving forward if we let it. Irma Bob Beck once said this, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do but never gets you anywhere. Worry and anxiety is something to do, but it'll keep you from peace and rest. So church, we've got to learn, how do we deal with our worry? How do we deal with stress? How do we deal with anxiety? So let me take you to a story in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Let me read it to you, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, speaking of Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. But a few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. In this story, we can definitively see the difference between a Mary and a Martha. But let me say this right now. Do not villainize Martha, nor make Mary the hero. Martha was serving, and that's a good thing. She just allowed the details of serving to become more important than they should have been. It's just a snapshot moment of Martha, because Martha did grow out of this. I just want you to know that. In fact, it was Martha who showed up when Lazarus died and Jesus does arrive. It's Martha who actually goes to Jesus and not Mary. She came to Jesus. But in this moment, her desire to serve got the better of her and she lost her peace. Of course, we're told that Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus listening and obviously was finding a blessing in that, while again Martha's preoccupied with what's going on, and find out it seems like Martha is stressed out. In fact, there's an exclamation point when she says, tell Mary to help me. Again, the scripture, but Martha was distracted, it says, by all the preparations that had to be made. Church, if we're not careful, we can fill our time with activities and our homes with noise that actually shuts God out. Somehow Mary, think about it, allowed the preparations to distract her and sidetrack her from really knowing what the moment required. Church, understand, our relationship with Christ cannot really grow properly or fully if we live with constant distractions in our life. There'll be no way to get your mind on the things of God if you continue to let things divert your attention from God. And don't be fooled, life is full of disruptions and interruptions and commotions and distractions, so that people really never end up living for much of a higher purpose than just to get through the next day. But God has so much more for you than that. The challenge will be, do you want to do anything about it? And if you do want to get rid of those distractions, then you're going to have to be the one to shut off the phone, shut off the TV, leave work at work, right? Learn how to control your life once again so that you can have this peace, so you can feel the presence of God in your life. Here's what Jesus said to Martha. First, he says her name twice. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. At times we find in the Word of God, Jesus would repeat a word or a name to emphasize a point. At this time, I believe it was to emphasize his deep concern for the stress she was feeling. You can really kind of hear it. Martha, Martha. He says, you are worried and upset about many things. He perceived what was going on in her life. Martha was so caught up in the moment of preparations that she allowed her attention in that moment to be about the stuff rather than about the master. The master had entered her house. And Jesus says, you're worried. You're upset about many things. Listen, worry accomplishes so little. Let me remind you of Proverbs 12:25 again. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Martha's heart got heavy, and now she's about to make the whole place miserable. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why? What's the old saying? Misery loves company. This is what we read in verse 40. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care? I mean, come on, you can hear the emotion, you can feel it, that my sister has left me to do the work, what? By myself. Tell her to help me. But Jesus responds, and using that proverb, recognized that her heart was weighed down. So he uses a kind word, calls her name. Everybody loves to hear their name. They do. He just didn't address the issue. He called her name. Martha, Martha. And in verse 42, he comes back and says there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken away from her. Church, just one thing is needed, especially in those stressful moments, and that's to get your attention on Jesus. What if she just would have gone, hey, I'm here, and he said, well, you know what? I'm going to release you guys to go take care of what you need to. What if they just would have gotten her attention first? It would have relieved all that stress. No matter what the circumstances or how stressed out we can be, I want you to know you can be set free. We just got to adjust our priorities toward Jesus. That means we have to eliminate the things that consume our thinking or clutter our thoughts. Because it really is about keeping your mind on Jesus and his word, listening really for the Holy Spirit's voice. Matthew 6:33 again, but seek first. First. And guess what? It's seeking. It's something you're going to have to desire to do. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Let me try to illustrate something this morning. All right. I'm going to put something on here, and I want you to tell me what you see, all right? This is one of those sight tests, okay? No, it's not. I want you to tell me what you see. All right, what does everybody see? A dot. Ink. What do you see now? What do you see now? An upside down smiley face. That's right. What's interesting, though, if we're not careful, because here's really the illustration. If we're not careful, we'll really overlook the most important thing. And you know what that really is here? What I really presented to you is a piece of paper. But see, what I did is I distracted you. It got you looking at that or that. It got your mind thinking about other things. You said, well, if you just would have put the piece of paper up there, I'd know what you were doing. But that's what happens in life. Those little distractions that begin to point out just simple little things, and we get our minds on those. And we tend to forget the innumerable blessings of the Lord because of a distraction. Like this sheet of paper, the good things in life really are overwhelmed and monopolized by what I pointed to. Life has a lot of distractions. I mean, how good has God been to you in your life? And yet, we let things distract us. Has he ever failed? But we worry if he's going to show up next time. Because we let that distract us. Our primary concern in this life should not be pleasing ourselves. It has to be about knowing and pleasing and serving God. It's about his kingdom. In the story, we're told Mary chose what was better. She's listening and sitting at Jesus' feet. You know what that means? Her thoughts were on Jesus. Oh, I know work has to be done. Preparations have to be made, but we cannot let the work rob your peace. It's okay to be busy as long as you make room for God in your busyness. So I got some thoughts for you. If you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, then you look back. If you want to be distracted, then look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. But if you want to be delivered and have peace, look up to Jesus. So what does all this really mean in our lives? Pastor James, would you come? How are we going to have the presence of peace in our lives? How do we deal with anxiety? Well, number one is you're going to have to trust in God. Trust in God. Well, Pastor, I thought it was going to be something really deeper than that. No. You just remember the chair last week? You're just going to have to lean completely on. Your whole body, your whole mind, completely on God. Trust in God. As a Christian, I know at times we feel insecure. And the reality is, most of us are insecure. But I want you to know there's a security you can have because the Word of God says we can have it. How many believe the Word of God is true, faithful, right, so we can live by it? Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace and do it how? Confidence. First of all, you need to know you can go to God and you can be bold about it. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to do what? In our time of need. Lord, somehow this is all I can see. Lord, I'm just distracted. But I've got confidence that I'm going to pull back from this and I'm going to remember who you are. Because I know you're going to help me. In fact, the writer of Hebrews goes on in verse 13, verse 6, so we can say with confidence, ready, say it with me, with confidence, ready, the Lord is my helper. so I will have no fear, no worry, no stress, no anxiety. Why? For what can mere people do to me? See, most of our concerns are about what's going to happen because I'm out of control. And we feel like everybody else is in control, at least of our lives. But what can they do to us? Because I got confidence that the Lord will help me. And I'm going to say it, and I'm going to keep pulling back from this. And you know what? I'm not going to let that distract me. So, church, we got to put our confidence and our trust in God. Everybody say, trust in God. Trust in Him. But one more thing I need to add to that. So you trust in God, and this scripture alluded to it, but I want to make sure you understand it. We need to pray. Now, I don't want you to get lost in what prayer is, because we've turned it into an activity instead of a lifestyle. The lifestyle of prayer is to commune with the Lord. Paul puts it this way, pray continuously. But we look at it as, I got an activity I need to do every day, and so I need to give attention to God. And so what we do is we make God this. And we make this everything else. God, I'm going to give you a little time here because I know you need it. Instead of praying and knowing that I'm going to walk in this attitude of prayer. Why? Because I've got this thing that I have confidence I can go to Him, and I know He's my helper, because I need to flip the picture and know that's not really the issue. He is. And so Philippians 4, 6, and 7 reminds us once again, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious except for a few things. What does the scripture say? Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, do you think that covers it all? I'm just wondering, it's just scripture. It may not mean anything to you. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, that's that ongoing walk. And with thanksgiving, God, thank you. How many saw the sunrise this morning? It was gorgeous. It was just incredible, the clouds, how they were reflecting. And I was like, God, you are so cool. But then present your request to God. And what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that gets so locked into my thoughts, but my thoughts are worthless. But His thoughts probably are not the way I think. So it transcends my understanding. And it guards my heart and my what? Mind in Christ Jesus. Why? Because that's where my mind is. Church, we can have this presence of peace. We just got to live in the presence of Jesus. Trust in God and live this life of prayer. Have a Jesus-filled life. I want you to stand with me. And we're going to give a blessing. I'm going to give it to you, but you're going to give it to somebody else today. You may have to give it to two people, because I don't know if everything works out even in this place today, in the sense of you got one person. Some of you aren't sitting by people, so you're going to have to turn around. You ready? It comes from Numbers 6. And it's a blessing that Moses would give to Israel. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. I need everybody to turn to somebody and say that. Lord bless you and keep you. Think about it. I don't want to rush. Ready? Say this. I'm saying to you first. The Lord make his face shine on you. Wow. I mean, the very face of God, the glory of God beaming down on your life. And everybody needs this part. And be gracious to you. Can you say that? Now, I want you to really catch this picture. The Lord turned his face toward you. I know we get lost and he turns it toward the whole world, or he turns it toward a situation. I want the Lord to turn his face towards you. Can you say that to your neighbor? Are you ready for the last part? Because I want you to know this is not a New Testament thing. This is a God thing. From early on, God wanted his people to have something. And by the Holy Spirit, Moses gives this blessing. And ending, he says, and give you peace. Ready? Try that one with your neighbor. Amen. All right. Here's how we're going to end. I have kept you over time today. Everybody out there, they can just wait. There's a song called The Way. Help point it to me what verse it was again. He got a copy for me. There's some words we sing in this song every once in a while, and it says this. It's a new horizon. Y'all remember this song? And I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. And then it says this, all my fears and doubts, all those things that cause worry, all those concerns, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. And then it makes the declaration, you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe you are. It's getting your mind set. Oh God, I'm not going to have us sing it because it's late. Maybe second service will get to sing it. I just put it in your heart. Because church, I want you to have peace. Grace and peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Be yours. Why? You can have it. You can rest in it. Just be careful to not let your attention get pushed away from God and what he's doing. Amen? Good with that? Does that help you give a visual to it? Okay. So Lord, all those dots that add up in our life, in fact, if I put too many dots on that paper, it could even hide you. Lord, let us not let that happen. Help us get our mind on you and give us peace, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a Jesus-filled week. God bless you.